drop the top on my future, no ceiling. I feel real good when I walk in the building. My soul is my weapon, I won't conceal it. I suffered so many years. I cried so many tears. Some things I don't understand.
Our guest, Jerikas Singleton, that is a statement of purpose if ever I heard it. Ooh. I refuse to lose, no matter what. Man, Jimi Hendrix would have recognised that too. He recognised the sound on there. I'm telling you, I'm going to put you in the same sentence. Wow, that was good. Bruce Iglauer helped you produce this record,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, man. I love working with Bruce. You know, with my modern approach to things, it's been labelled. Which I just think, you know, just my way of doing it. But Bruce has a traditional approach to the blues, and I think that really balanced me out really well as far as what I was trying to do, and me and Bruce kind of, you know, making sure that I had the sound that I wanted, that we really wanted. You know what I'm saying? We really talked about it. We talk about it all the time. And
it's a big sound.
He really likes me to be who I am, and I really thank Bruce for that. And just glad to be able to convey what I feel musically. You know,
it's interesting the way you go about it, mixing all those things together, and making it work,
right?
With the I think it was Bruce Iglauer himself said in the notes,
yeah.
There's a lot of different things in there, but it all, in the end, sounds like the blues.
I have no idea, you know.
Because you've reinvented the blues in some sense by mixing in contemporary, as you said. You're doing things, and this is 21st century blues. This isn't the blues of your father or your grandfather.
Yeah.
Well, not your grandfather, but the grandfathers who preceded you in Mississippi.
Yeah. You know, Richard, I heard Derek Chuck say one time, if you listen to some type of music, it's going to come out in your playing sooner or later. Mm-hmm. And all the music that I've listened to, I just think it's just finally just coming out. You know, all those years I was playing basketball and you know, I always thought about music. And, you know, I rapped a little bit and put out some CDs just for fun, you know, just because I love just music. And
so when did you first start making music yourself?
Oh, Lord, Richard. I think, man, you know, me and my cousin Corey, my first cousin Corey, we call him Bubba because he was kind of chubby. And I remember we at least 11 or 12, we used to have these cassette tapes. We'd be at my mama's house and we'd just put the cassette tapes in there and press record. And man, we'd just freestyle all day. And we used to do that all day. And so I believe that's the first time I really just, and when I did that, I was like, oh, man. You know, like Muddy Waters said on Cadillac Records, it's like, man, I'm meeting myself for the first time. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I felt like when I when I heard myself on the over the tape recorder. So that's when it started, I think, yeah.
And when did you start playing the guitar?
Well, I started playing bass when I was 9. And my grandfather played guitar, my mom played organ.
And this was in the church?
This was in the church, yeah. So once I started playing bass at 9 and coming to church and being a bass player, my uncle just gave me the bass one night, and he was like, hey, man, play this, and I'm going to show you what to play, and just play this all night, and don't play nothing else till I tell you. I was like, okay. So I started playing it. So from then on, I was the bass player. So when I turned about 14 or 15, my grandfather was like, man, look, I got arthritis. My fingers not working like they used to. You need to start playing the guitar. When you come to church, don't play the bass, play the guitar. I said, okay. And that's what started.
Without any lessons?
No, we didn't have lessons. We did have lessons 5 times a week at church. Uh-huh. We had Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, and twice on Sunday. And if you didn't learn nothing while you were there, because we were there 3 or 4 hours at a time every time we went. So you got some training and some education.
You got that for sure. But as far as the guitar or the bass, you were just essentially playing by ear, right? By feel.
Yeah, my uncle, he showed me a lot.
There's nothing written down.
Nothing written down. I don't read music, which, you know, I would like to, but I want to get back to it. When I was in college, I wanted to take up music, but basketball was just so overwhelming as far as time and studying, trying to get your grades and practicing and working out. But, yeah, just learning by ear and just being attentive to what's going on around me, because if you didn't pay attention to my grandfather while he was having a church service going, man, he'll get you off the drums, he'll get you off the, or get out of the way. You're messing up the service, you're messing up the groove. You couldn't play at my church, at my grandfather's church, without any discipline and paying attention. So I learned that first there.
You know, I read a quote, and I can't remember who the musician was, but somebody said, do you know how to read music? He said, yeah, I do, but it doesn't get in the way of my playing.
Right.
You don't have to be able to, you don't have to read music to be able to play like you do.
Man,
some would say, like him, it's better if you don't.
Yeah, well, Richard, you're probably right. And, you know, it's always pros and cons to everything, but the way you learn is the way you learn, you know, because I had no idea I'd be a musician. You know, I just had no idea. If you told me 6 or 7 years ago that I'd be sitting here talking to you, playing music for a living, I would have thought you were crazy, you know, honestly. And
you were all set for a basketball career.
Was.
And as you said, you had a problem with your ankle.
Right.
And the agent thing and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
So you turned to music and you took all that energy and all that drive that you've been putting into your basketball career.
Right.
And put it into music.
Right. And I have so much more left. That's the good thing about it. Richard, and I'm being honest as I can when I say this, I feel like I'm really just learning how to be an artist, you know, learning how to write, how to do my songs, it's a lot of stuff I'm learning. So I'm thankful for the opportunity by Bruce and
Well, he was really impressed with you, wasn't he? I mean, you know, this is not a man that just signs anybody.
Oh, no, man. And let me tell you, Bruce, no, Lord. Uh-huh. He
came down and checked you out.
Yeah, he came down to Jackson and checked me out. Mm. And when I got through the show, he said, well, you have great stage presence. You direct the band really good, but your vocals are really questionable. That was the conversation after the gig. And you know what? I went back and I worked on it. And I came back and I improved, and he noticed the improvement. And that's why I say I don't have the luxury to relax, because I'm still learning. There's a lot of stuff I don't know. And every time I learn something new, I realize what I didn't know. And so I'm just thankful to have a good coach in Bruce. Thankful to have a good label behind me that really works really hard, because those people, man, at Alligator, they really love their artists. They really take care of them, make sure that everything's where it's supposed to be. And I'm just so thankful to be a part of that. You know, it's great.
And Michael Burke, they called him Iron Man. Oh. He was a mentor for you too, huh?
Yeah, Michael Burke's one of the greatest guitarists I've ever seen. One of the nicest guys I've ever met.
He was sitting where you were sitting.
Really?
Probably 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, man.
Amazing man.
Powerful guy.
Yeah.
Powerful guy.
So what did you get from him?
Man, the humble and meekness that he had and how nice he was. Because I'm going to tell you, Richard, the first time I met him, I didn't have a bird's eye view of who this man was. And he was at the 930 Blues Cafe in Jackson, 2008. And I went in there and I heard somebody playing a guitar. I said, man, who in the hell is that? So I went in there and I listened and I talked to him after the show. And this man talked to me for about 2 hours after the show. Didn't know who I was. I didn't tell him I was a musician. I asked him a million and one questions about, man, how you get the van and what's the trailer for it? I didn't know anything.
Right.
But
right.
He sat down and he talked to me. And I sent him a Facebook message about a week later. I said, Mike, I don't know if you remember me. Blah, 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 and I put my number on it. And do you know he called me, Richard?
I believe it. He struck me as that kind of person. There was no attitude about the man at all. And he's talking about, you know, how hard he was working.
Yeah.
And working with his family. They had a restaurant, I think, didn't they?
Yeah, he was a mechanic too.
Yeah.
So when he wasn't driving his van, he was working on it. This, you know, an amazing guy. And I cover his some of his songs. I know I cover one of his songs sometimes in my shows called Empty Promises, because that's a song I heard him play that night when I went to 930. And I never forget it. And every time I get a chance, man, I'm going to try to keep his spirit going, because this was one of the greatest guys, let alone musicians that I've ever seen. So shout out to Michael Burks and his family.
So when did you put your band together?
I put my band together in 2010.
So you guys have been playing together. And this is your band on the record, right?
Yeah, this is my band on the record. Well, I have a
because they're tight. With you.
Well, you know, I have a new keyboard player. Well, you know, my friend James, he played on the album for me. He does a lot of work with Mississippi Mass Choir, things like that. And I have another keyboard player with me now. But
who else do you have in the band?
I have my cousin Ben on bass. I got Sam Brady on keys. And right now I have Maya on drums, which she's the girlfriend of my regular drummer. His name is John Blackman. So, and he can't travel everywhere right now. So we're just glad to have her. And it's just, everything is just intense. It's just as good. It's just as much energy. We're having a lot of fun. I'm having a lot of fun and gonna keep trying to do it, Rich.
I can tell. And that's what matters in the end, right?
That's what matters, Rich. That's what matters, man. I'm very happy.
So all of songs on the album, they're all yours, right? They're all originals?
Yeah, they're all originals. Some of them were co-written by Harrison Sumner and I, a good friend of mine. But they're all original. And
so what's your writing process? Do you freestyle when you write like you were with your cousin back in the day?
But I'm going to tell you, sometimes I do. Like with some songs, some verses, I come up with in my head. And then once I come up with them, I kind of send an email to myself or write it down. You know, I'm old school. I still had a tablet with the pen. I don't like putting stuff in my phone because, you know, you drop it in some water, it's a wrap. So, you know, then you have to have all of this to back it up, and you got to back up these files. And man, if I just write it down and have it in my pad, you know, it's more accessible to me. So, but, you know, music comes at the most inopportune time sometimes. I can be in the bathroom. Oh, melody come. I got to run out the bathroom, you know. I can be driving on the road, or I can be in a hotel, or whatever. And sometimes the music comes first. Sometimes the lyrics come first. Sometimes they come together. It's just depending on...
Let's talk about... What song would you like to talk about?
It's on you, Richard. You pick one. I like them all, so I'm a little biased.
Well, how about Keep Pushing?
Oh, we could talk about Keep Pushing. It's an autobiographical tune that talks about my struggles... coming up and what happened with me in basketball, and talked about my favorite car, which was a 1982 Cutlass, Richard. 1982 Cutlass Supreme.
Big car.
Four-door. Oh. I bought that car for my granddaddy, man. That's one thing my father did do that I always love him for. He gave me $100 a month when I was in the 11th grade to buy that car for my grandfather for $900. It had a V6 motor in it, and my grandfather and my grandma...
That's a big car for a 17-year-old.
When I bought it, Richard, it was like 235,000 miles on it. So it was my favorite car, but it got stolen. And I talk about it and Keep Pushing. But
you kept it out of the ditches, and you didn't wrap it around a tree.
No, I didn't wrap it around a tree, man. And you know, they don't make cars like that anymore,
I know.
I can't even find a Cutlass Supreme like that anymore.
Oh, no, I wouldn't
think
so.
And it's devastating, man. Yeah. I still cringe.
I guess those are long gone.
I still cringe about that, Rich. I do, man.
Our guest is Jerika Singleton. He's playing on the Champions Chicken stage down at the Bessie Smith Strut tonight at 7:15.
Y'all this come is, see me.
Mm-mm, this is Keep Pushing.
Back when I was slim 16, no air conditioning, the seats wouldn't adjust, had the cleanest hubcaps ever seen. You couldn't tell me I wasn't cool, every time I made a turn I would smile. Then it got stolen, I was glad I didn't find it, cause I would've went to jail for a while. I gotta keep pushing. It's got to be a brighter day.
Our guest, Jerika Singleton, from his first album for Alligator, his second album, Keep Pushing. Well, I guess they're saying it's your second album. I guess it's your second album playing music like this, but you've been making albums off and on for a long time, right?
You said it right the first time, Richard, my second album, so I'm with you.
But what I was trying to remember, and I see it here now, you won the Jackson Music Award in 2012 as Blues Artist of the Year, which Casey says that's like being voted the best singer and songwriter in Nashville. These are people who know from blues, and if they're saying you're the best of the year, then that's quite an award.
Well,
that must have been a shot in the arm for you, because you haven't been doing it very long at that point, have you?
Well, I'm just extremely thankful to get the love from my home state. And for them to be recognized is always a great thing, you know, and it always does the heart well. And, I wouldn't go as far as to say what Casey said, but I appreciate the honor, you know.
Well, it's on the back of your CD, you're standing in front of a wall, and scrawled on the wall, it says, dream big or go home.
Yeah. Well, you know.
You have big dreams still?
I just posted on Facebook a couple of days ago, and my post said, yes, I'm from a small city, but I dream big. And that's how I live. That's how I have to do it. And Bruce Iglar, he saw that. We were in a old building in Memphis where, you know, it was a couple of guys sleeping in there. And they were really nice, and they let me come in there and take pictures. And it was really cool. It was a guy, he had a bed in there, man. He had a kitchen, and he had these water jugs and all that. Homeless guy.
He's all set up.
Oh, yeah. And the guy that was touring us around Memphis, he gave him a cigarette, and he asked, could we take pictures? He said, yeah, go ahead. And Bruce saw that dream big or go home. He said, oh, Jerika's, man, that's you. We got to get a picture right there. I said, yeah, I'm down for it. So, yeah, that's the bud of it.
So how many dreams have you got that you haven't realized yet? You've realized quite a few, I guess, getting signed to Alligator and getting things going the way they're going.
You know, it's kind of like stars in the sky.
Mm.
You know, you keep you might not ever touch it, but if you keep reaching for it, you always got something to go for.
Right, right.
You know, so that's what I mean about dream big, regardless of, because I don't look at failing. You know, I think somebody telling me no, I think that means try harder. You know what I'm saying? If something going on and the door's not opening, I go through the roof. If the wonder don't work, I go through the back door. If the back door don't work, I tear it down. You know, you got to do what you have to do, because a lot of people won't give you anything but a hard time. You got to go out there and you got to make it happen, and do it in a respectful manner, which I have been doing, I think, for the most part. But I'm just, I'm an intense guy.
Well, you know, that's the thing that strikes me about you, Jerika. You've got all this drive, and you've got, which you know, if you're going to make it in a business like the music business, if you haven't got that drive, you ain't getting anywhere.
That's right.
But at the same time, it sounds like when you start playing, you just deepen the music. That's all you're thinking about. And you're not thinking about ambition. You're not thinking about dreams. You're just thinking about, in that moment, what you're making at that point.
I'm lost. Yeah. I'm lost in the music. And that's why I love to be lost. Because, man, it's good time. I just can't tell you how much it has helped me, Richard. And just God blessing me to be able to do it and to be able to help me. It helps me because it helps me get my emotions out. You know, it helped me with my emotions. And when I was growing up, I don't think I dealt with my emotions really well as far as personally. I struggled with a lot of things mentally, just like, you know, probably a lot of people did. But when I really started honing in with music, man, I just started being more thankful about everything, because I never knew I could feel this way about doing something. So I'm extremely thankful to be in the blues community. I'm extremely thankful that you would even reach out to a guy like me and invite me down here with such hospitality and a charismatic way.
Such a pleasure to have you here. I love your music.
Thank you, Richard.
And I'm thinking maybe the song on which we should close, it seems appropriate to close with Gonna Let Go.
Gonna Let Go. Now, this song was...
Because you do, right? That's what you do. You let go. You just let yourself go with
let
the music.
Let it go, man. Yeah, don't take yourself too serious. This song
well,
was
because it's
debuted.
Not a hit thing, is it? I think it all goes back to your granddad or your uncle giving you the bass and saying, play this.
Yeah.
And so right from the get-go, for you, music was just a feel thing.
It was a feel thing from the get-go, so it wasn't even though... Mm. You know, it was just, you know, feel your way through it.
Right.
And Gonna Let Go is the epitome of that. And this song has been debuted on a Netflix TV series called Bloodline.
Oh, I know that song. The show, rather. And at the people in Florida.
Man, Alligator, I got to give a shout out to Alligator Records because these things don't just happen.
True.
You have people at these record labels is working really hard. To make things happen. So the staff there, Alligator, I really appreciate everything they're doing because it's all a collective effort. And it's called Gonna Let Go, and it's a feel-good song, and I love it. One of my favorite songs to play, Richard.
Casey is saying that the people in Jackson, they know the blues, and they thought you had it. The people at Alligator, who, as we've already said, they don't just take anybody, and when they take somebody, they stay with them, and they help them to get where they want to go. It's that kind of label. All of those things are saying, this is a man to watch. Jerika Singleton. Thanks so much, Jerika.
Thank you, Richie.
7:15 tonight at the Strut.
I'm gone.